Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is the Annie Fry Show. Whoa. And not the Manny Fry Show. Enough of that intro. Get that out of here.
Nah, we can just keep playing it. Come on. It's fun. You know you love it.
This is the Annie Fry Show until I can't do it any longer.
Yeah, that's why we're here.
But I think I've been out today. I was out last Wednesday. This is still the same cold. This has been really crappy to go through. I don't know how many of you all are dealing with a spring cold. You know, you kind of get into these things and you're thinking to yourself, is this allergies or am I sick? Like, is this just the way it's going to be for 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 8 weeks? Or am I going to get sick and then I'm going to get better? Well, I am working on getting better and I'm very happy to be back here. Thank you to both of you guys for filling in while I was out. I appreciate that. And everybody compliments you guys, and they like it when you fill in. So
good.
I am glad.
I'm glad we can be the B+ team anyway.
Yeah. I texted Ryan yesterday, and I was thinking, like, okay, I could try to come in. I could try to do this. And I texted Ryan to be like, hey, how would you feel? Like, do you think you could do it? And then he said to me, he's like, I'd always rather have you here, but if we had to, we could do it. And it wasn't, have you ever done this? It wasn't until after you answered the question that I was like, oh, no, wait, I actually just wanted you to say yes.
I could tell by the way you were asking. Yeah.
Well, then why didn't you just say yes?
Well, because I thought if there was a 10% chance that you still were like, yeah, I maybe could do it, I was going to open the door to that.
A 9% chance.
Well, I wanted to make sure that you... I was honest in saying I'd rather have you here.
You're actually very kind about it. But you said that. Have you ever asked somebody something and you like give them the choice and you don't realize until after they say the wrong thing?
What's funny is that
you're like, ah, crap, that's not what I wanted them to say.
You don't know this because you weren't here.
Yeah.
But we had that conversation about that conversation without you.
What'd you say about me?
I was talking with Trisha and saying...
He's on the air or just with Trisha?
Just with Trisha. Yeah. So off air. Said, Annie asked that question, but she knew the answer to that question already. I said, why don't you come in? And she was like, that ain't gonna happen.
No, it was within 3 minutes of you saying you could come in that I was like, I'm not coming in.
Yeah, exactly.
It was kind of, I guess, I'm trying to put it on you, but I appreciate you guys filling in for me. The plan every day that I've been trying to work my way back in is... I have a weak voice, although this is the strongest my voice has been. It's been hard to talk and have a full voice and not cough in the middle of it, which I can only imagine how annoying that would be to listen to. And since that's the business we're in.
Hopefully you have more than just a weak voice, like a couple weeks voice.
Yeah, thank you. I see.
Yeah.
You're still so funny.
Thank you very much. I'll be here all afternoon.
You're darn right you will. And so I'm going to lean on these guys a little bit more if the voice starts to weaken, but I feel better. I'm not healthy, but I feel much better than I did. A lot of news is working its way through the system right now, especially that big, beautiful bill. President Trump has made his way to the Capitol this morning. Okay, you said I was going to do this, and I'm not going to do this a lot. And I don't know that I've actually done it since then, but since I've been there.
Oh, here we go.
Since I was able to go to the White House and understand the background of how all of these things are working, I'm always thinking to myself, like, if this would have happened on the day that I was there, I don't think, like, the White House pool is different than the travel pool. And so the travel pool is the one that went with him this morning to the Capitol, because they're working their tails off on getting this big, beautiful bill signed into law. I don't think that any of us can understand the gravity of how big this monstrosity of a bill is and how difficult it would be under any circumstances to get it done. I almost think, and I've gone back and forth on this, you can tell me what you think about it, Ryan, I almost think that if there was a stronger majority of Republicans in the House, that there'd be more people demanding things, and it'd be more divisive going into a midterm, because there'd be people who would be major winners and there'd be people who are major losers in what they want to get. Now, the salt tax, which at 105, I'm going to play a clip. Or no, I'm not going to play a clip. I might play a clip. That might happen.
Ooh, stick around. She may or may not play a clip.
They want teases? There's your tease.
Wow, good job.
You're listening to the radio? I might play audio.
You're listening to the radio in St. Louis.
That's like a really cool tease for like 1918.
Yeah.
We've
wow.
We've got this new technology where we might play sound from something that happened earlier.
You can hear my voice, but I'm not even in the room with you.
Exactly. Jonathan Honig is going to be with us. He's a Fox News contributor and a financial advisor. You've heard him have conversations with Ryan before when Ryan is hosting or on the Wiggins America. But I'm going to ask him, one of the major holdups for a lot of the getting kind of frustrated with the California, New York, the East Coast, West Coast reference, but maybe the Republicans in the House of Representatives like Darren LaHood and Mike Bost and Mary Miller aren't really that caught up on the salt stuff. But basically, we have super high property taxes in the state of Illinois, but then, of course, California and New York, super high property taxes. And when the Trump tax cuts got implemented originally in 2017, they made it so that you couldn't write off as much of the state taxes. Is that correct? Am I saying that
yes.
right? The state taxes that you pay. So if you're in a high tax blue state, the new tax bill might have been a little bit more punitive to you in some regard. In others, I think it definitely made up for it because they limited how much you could write off. Now, think about this. Like, I can put myself in a red state. I literally have. I'm standing in one right now here in Missouri. Why should Missouri, having smart fiscal policies coming out of Jefferson City, why should people in Missouri have to benefit less from it because Illinois gets away from high taxes against their residents? So then it's like kind of a benefit. You know, it doesn't make sense to me that Republicans in these blue states are going to aggressively push this and stop this whole bill from happening. It's not an attractive argument to me. And I'm one of those people who would benefit by those blue state Republicans winning on this issue. All three of us in here would benefit by these blue state Republican representatives winning on the salt issue. So I'm going to ask Jonathan about that at 105 and ask him like what this holdup here. Also, if I don't talk to Honig about this specifically, Ryan Schmelz is going to be with us in about 10 minutes, and he's going to be able to lay down everything, all of the barriers that exist to getting this done right now. If you listened to the Speaker of the House this morning and heard what he had to say, and you listened to President Trump in one of his, I think it was like four pop-up press conferences that he was giving, he was positive. He came out and he was in a good spirit, and he was saying it was a very positive meeting, gathering of those Republicans. It was the Republican caucus. They got together and listened to the president speak. And I think that he is happy about what is developing so far. This is so big. And I know that everyone's like, it's got to get done. It's got to get done. It's just not that easy. And we've said this on this show many times before, but we're going to have to be patient. This has to get done before the end of the year. The nice thing about getting it done sooner is that we can move on from it. So it's more of a political benefit, in my opinion, to get it done sooner. They wanted to have it out of the House by Memorial Day so that it could get to the president by July 4th. they're going to have to wait and see if that's going to be able to happen. But the news this morning is positive in nature. I have kind of been off the record. I haven't been able to get them to come on because they're very busy. The concession that I would give these blue state Republicans that really want this SALT thing implemented is we're not going to vote for this. We're not going to vote for this. It's not going to be included in this bill. But we are going to promise, and I don't know that this crosses some sort of line or whatever, but I'd like someone to tell me why we couldn't do this. What needs to happen is in the midterms, the congressional election institution, whatever that might be, and I'm working to get Kevin McCarthy on the show soon because he was a master fundraiser. What I would really like to see is the House Republicans and the system that is behind the majority push in the midterms to commit to X amount of districts in California, in Illinois, in New York, places where we think that we can actually pick up Republican seats in purple districts. If you look specifically at the state of Illinois, it's a Trump plus 9 state in the last election. He gained 9 points over where he had competed previously. There are people with a great appetite for what Donald Trump is doing. And if you look at his approval ratings, they're above 50%. People trusted Donald Trump in the state of Illinois specifically, but I'm sure you could look at California with Gavin Newsom's disastrous leadership and the psychotic stuff going on in the state of New York politically with their statewide officials. And if the Republicans would commit, it might be one district, it might be 5 districts. You know, we have 18, 17, is it 18 now? In the state of Illinois congressional districts. In California, boy, it's a lot more than that. In New York, commit to winning districts in the midterms. We're not going to put the salt in this one, but we will invest because that's where the rubber meets the road. They have all of this money. They have to try to apply it to specific races. Find races and tell those blue state Republican districts to weigh in. Where do you think we could win? How do you think we could win? Who are the candidates could win? And listen heavily in the midterms to try to pick up a seat or 2 or 5 if it's the state of... I mean, we're not going to get 5 seats in the state of Illinois. We're not going to flip 5 congressional seats in the state of Illinois. But maybe you can in California. It's been done before. Kevin McCarthy is from California. In New York, there's probably a lot of people that detest what's been going on in the state of New York because all those people are doubling down on the psychotic nature of what the Democratic Party has been doing. Or maybe some other blue states that are facing this type of salt problem. But listen, if you campaign, if the Republican Party campaigns, if Donald Trump can say to a few of these blue state Republicans, I can't support this. I can't derail this whole thing to include your SALT requirement. We can't do it. It's not going to pass if we do. But I'll campaign for you. I'll come to your state and I'll campaign. He can do that. And that's what really, like that, Ben, that rises all boats. So promise, say, okay, yeah, you want to fix the SALT issue? Guess what, Illinois? You got to fix your issue in Illinois. You got to get your state in order. You got a statewide governor. You got a statewide, obviously the House, in the state legislature. You've got all the statewides in Illinois. I don't know if California or California's up, isn't it, in a midterm election? Isn't Gavin Newsom, isn't the question about what's going to happen in 26? Isn't that a Gavin Newsom question?
Yep.
I don't know.
So go all in some of these blue states, because if you campaign, you know, might be the Illinois 13. That's my district. Nikki Budzinski. You heard anything about her? No, because she knows she's in a purple district and she's got to do everything she can to not piss people off in the 13th. What does it do to the entire area to bring Donald Trump in, to bring the MAGA system in the midterms here? Go look at the results. I wish I had them up right now between Nikki Budzinski and I think it's Joshua Lloyd who ran. When I saw how well he competed in the 13th And I think he's running again. I know I've shaken hands with several other people who are trying to run in the 13th. It's a winnable district. And if you get Trump to come in and you spend some money to support that guy, how many of you folks listening in Illinois 13 know Josh Lloyd's name? If you don't know his name, it's because there was no money spent to make sure you knew his name. What if they did? Now, if you're in the state of Illinois, or if you're a representative in the state of Illinois, and like I said, I don't know if Boston, Miller, and LaHood, all three of who met with me while I was in Washington, D.C., and I sat down with all three of them. If those three congressional representatives can't get the SALT thing across the line with the big, beautiful bill, if all three of those people are pushing for that, or maybe the same goes for California, maybe the same goes for New York, if they can't deliver on the promise that maybe they made to their constituents, what if they said, I've got something better for you. We're going to fix this at the root of the problem, and we're going to work to actually get common sense, not just through the federal government, back to the states. California is ripe for the taking. I don't know if the governor can flip to Republican, but boy, if there were ever a stage set for somebody to have success in doing that, it would be now. We are in a position right now where transformation really rests on their ability to take everything that Donald Trump has put out there as an executive order, as the executive function in the executive branch, and put it all out there with his pen and to put it into law. The law, getting it into law, is where the true magic will happen for the American people. And there is nobody who can convince me otherwise that the reason that there is a Republican majority in the House, a Republican majority in the Senate, and we have a Republican president is because of Donald Trump's message. So get behind what this president has to say, pass what he wants to have passed, and then tell the president, we need you in the state of Illinois to make sure that we get some common sense back here. We need you. We need your system. We need your people. Don't leave us behind. You can't put the SALT thing in this bill. We need you to help us in the midterms. And honestly, he needs us to show up for him. He needs the Illinois 13th. They have such a small majority right now that every seat that could be up for grabs, every seat is valuable to Donald Trump. Everybody wins. Make that trade in Congress and bring some common sense back to these blue states and make these blue states be less crazy. Can we do that? That's my proposition. It's probably completely illegal. I don't know. Is there anything about that that seems illegal? I don't know. Like, can you trade like campaign promises for? I mean, it's just.
I mean, the laws that are on the books, sometimes they pop up and you go, didn't even know that was a thing. But no, this is common stuff.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. And the SALT thing is, I mean, not to get too far into it, but the SALT thing is changing rapidly. I think they are using it as a negotiation tool to say, well, the blue state ones are saying, we're fighting for you. And everybody else is using it as a bargaining chip to say, okay, what if we get you on board, you got to give us XYZ.
And I don't think that the we're fighting for you blue state Republican thing is a message that even blue state Republicans are dying on. That's not it. We're not that stupid. We know, like, I do not want to be a blue state Republican standing in the way of this getting done.
Exactly.
Don't put me on that line. Heck no. Pass the bill. When we come back, Ryan Schmelz is going to give us the update on everything that is materializing right now. There is a major push to get this done by Memorial Day. We'll get the timeline. We'll get the timeline from Ryan Schmelz when we come back and find out what's the likelihood. The positivity, maybe the negativity around getting the job done. Ryan Schmelz on the Andy Fry Show next. You know what the world is saying for
you. Stay alive and keep it up. Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
The Democrats want to raise your taxes. If this doesn't work, if this doesn't get the numbers that the Republicans want, and I think it does, I think it's all Republican vote, the Democrats are going to be raising your taxes by 68%, and they will not do the... We're going to have an 85% cut in drug costs. 85% cut in drug costs. The Democrats, the drug prices are going to go up. I can't imagine a Democrat not voting for this. I think the Democrats, if they don't vote for it, that means they're voting for an increase in drug prices. Think of that, versus an 80 to an 85, maybe 75, but could be an 85% cut in drug costs.
Okay. The president making his way over to Capitol Hill to make sure that we get to the bottom of this big, beautiful bill, that it gets actually done. He went last week and, you know, did some things in the Middle East, and now he is back in Washington, D.C. and working on getting a deal done with those folks on Capitol Hill. So let's talk to Ryan Schmelz, who joins us right now, Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. Make sure you follow him for the latest, everything on X at Ryan Schmelz Fox. Ryan, thanks for being with us here today. It's good to have you back.
Always great to be on, Annie. How are you?
Doing okay. So President Trump comes over to Capitol Hill. That doesn't happen very often. How frequently do you see the president over influencing the Republican caucus, the members of Congress?
Well, normally he does this by phone, but I guess President Trump felt the need to rally the troops today because, you know, they're still trying to get everybody on board for this one big, beautiful bill, and they're just not there yet. But, you know, based off the people we talked to, both during and after the meeting, it seems like there are some who moved in the right direction. At least they made significant progress. But, you know, significant progress is not good enough when you have a majority that's as slim as what the Republicans have right now, because all it takes is two, three, or four people, and they can kill a bill at any time. And it looks like they already have two. So they can only afford to lose really one more. They can't afford to lose any more than that. So Republicans are just in a very tough situation when it comes to passing this thing. And there were some notable highlights from the meeting, and we want to get into those in a second.
Go ahead. Yeah, I want to make sure that we understand. You said there are two people that are dropped right there. One of them is Thomas Massie, and the president made a comment about that. I'm going to play that clip for you if I can here real quick. Thomas, the president on Capitol Hill speaking about Thomas Massie. Let's listen to that.
Say it. What do you think until the fiscal hawks who want to deliver
I'm a fiscal hawk. I'm a bigger fiscal hawk. There's nobody like me as a fiscal hawk.
Thomas Massie said it has more deficit than Biden did, and this bill kind of...
Because we have to fix the country.
Do you think that Thomas Massie is correct in saying that this is adding Biden most?
No, I don't think Thomas Massie understands government. I think he's a grandstander, frankly. He'll probably vote. We don't even talk to him much. I think he should be voted out of office. And I just don't think he understands government. If you ask him a couple of questions, he never gives you an answer. He just says, I'm a no. He thinks he's going to get publicity. And you have that. You have that. They've got some, too.
Ryan, is this just, you know, politics as usual between a libertarian in Congress who, I don't know if he really, does he vote in favor of anything that has to do with the budget? He's a hard no, it seems.
He's been a hard no for quite some time, and he's going to be continuing to be a hard no. We talked to him actually after the meeting today. He is still a no. He was not offended by what President Trump said. Apparently, President Trump called him out by name, asked if he was in the room, and then kind of regurgitated some of the comments he made earlier about Thomas Massie. So there's no love lost there. I mean, Massie's kind of resisted to go after President Trump on a number of when he's had the opportunity to, but Trump has continued his fierce criticism of Massie. It hasn't really gone anywhere. It's still a very testy relationship there. But Massie has said, I mean, I'm sticking to my guns. I'm voting how I feel. And he doesn't feel this is truly going to have a positive impact on the national debt. So he's a no.
Ryan Schmelz is with us right now, Fox News, Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. Can you highlight for us a few of those things that are the roadblocks right now that need to be moved out of the way until this big, beautiful bill can get passed by the House and move to the Senate?
Right. So you have Medicaid provisions. That's probably one of the big ones. Republicans want to, at least some of the conservative members want to take the work requirements that they're adding to Medicaid and move that up in terms of its start date. So right now, the way that it's structured, it kind of gives the administration a pretty generous timeline when it comes to putting this into law. So they can essentially take, you know, Medicaid work requirements and put them into place in 2029. Well, the argument Republicans are making is, well, wait a minute. In 2029, J.D. Vance might not be the president. It could be a Democrat. So all these spending cuts we work for just aren't going to go into effect. So what they're trying to do is pretty much make them more immediate, if not immediate, within a year or two. And as President Trump said in the meeting today, don't F with Medicaid. And you have a number of Republicans like Josh Hawley, who's really jumping on that comment and saying, yes, you should listen to him because this is going to be a huge issue for us if we go down that road. And then also the state and local tax deduction is the other one. We've talked about this before. Blue states really benefit from this. Blue state Republicans are fighting for this, but red state Republicans are saying, if you're going to increase the cap past what we've offered you, you're going to have to pay for that.
Yeah. So talk to me about that state and local tax, which is referred to as SALT. We were just talking about that a little bit in the segment leading up to our conversation here with you. Illinois is one of those states. And so we all here in this show live in Illinois. And that part of the Trump tax cuts originally did affect us. But as a red state Republican, a blue state Republican, I should say, I'm not wanting this whole thing derailed for this one particular issue. Is it specifically California? Is it New York? Like, do we know the representatives that are really being sticklers on the SALT issue?
Yeah, I would say the New York ones are the loudest. It's Mike Lawler, Andrew Garbarino, Nick LaLota, and this one's a little bit of an interesting one. Elise Stefanik has become one of the big hardliners when it comes to SALT. And people forget she voted against the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act because of this issue years ago. Clearly didn't impact her elevating her profile within the Republican caucus. But now you've got this kind of toxic relationship between her and Speaker Johnson, it appears. And she has taken a hardline stance on this. You know, they've been offered to take the cap from $10,000 to $30,000. That hasn't been good enough for this group of Republicans. It's been good enough for some other California, New York and New Jersey Republicans. But this group has said we want something a little bit more than this. They haven't said publicly what that is, but it's something they've been advocating for.
So, Ryan, that is interesting. I didn't know Elise Stefanik was one of those people. I was discussing in the last segment the possibility of some concessions being made here. Like, to me, as an Illinois resident myself, the real problem here lies in the fact that Illinois is a really high tax state. And that doesn't necessarily, you know, the rest of the country doesn't have to bear the burden of the fact that Illinois can't elect a legislature that isn't punishing its residents by overtaxing them. Is it possible that the congressional fundraising apparatus can work to try to pick off a few, like commit to in the midterms, spending a little extra money in maybe New York or spending a little extra money in California to try to get more Republican representation in Congress, of course, in any purple seats that might be up for grabs in that midterm? Because when you bring the weight of that type of attention to a state like that, mm-hmm. maybe even the president comes and campaigns, when you bring that attention to those elections, the ripple effect could be pretty significant for those statewide elections like Illinois and California. I'm not 100% sure about New York, what they have coming up here.
Well, that's one of the reasons why we're having this argument right now, and one of the reasons why Republicans have the House. And that's what these New York Republicans keep arguing, is that Republicans would not have the House if it wasn't for them, essentially. You know, Mike Lawler is one of the few people who represents a district that was won by Vice President Harris, who's a Republican. So, yes, I mean, that argument gets made a lot. And there have definitely been seats in Connecticut, some seats in Illinois that Republicans have targeted that they just haven't been able to win the last couple election cycles. And I think, you know, what we're kind of watching for, which could be a very interesting race, is what happens in the New York gubernatorial election. And how do New York taxes get brought up in that? So, yes, I mean, Elise Stefanik is going to be somebody who could potentially run for governor of New York. She's teased it. She hasn't said officially that she's going to do it or not. But obviously, New York is still a blue state, but they feel that Kathy Hochul there is very unpopular, and there's a huge opportunity for Republicans to potentially pick that state off. Now, I mean, this happened with Bruce Rauner in Illinois a while ago, where Illinois taxes got so out of hand that people felt the need to change some leadership there. And I've seen that happen in New York. We've seen, Maryland, Massachusetts. You've seen this happen before, where blue states have elected Republican governors, moderate Republican governors, over issues like cost of living. So whether that's going to happen or not, I mean, we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, Republicans have been eyeing some of these bluer areas because of issues like taxes.
Yeah. And I think Donald Trump is the perfect messenger to bring in common sense to kind of calm the noise that a lot of these state parties that are Democrat led in big blue states, they get away with quite a lot of nonsense during the elections. I think Donald Trump is the messenger that can could get the job done and get them across the finish line in the midterms. And if I were a blue state Republican in Congress right now, I would be saying, I'll concede on the salt in this, but we want support during the midterms. Last question before we let you go. We're speaking with Ryan Schmelz, Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. Can you talk to us about the timeline? We've heard of commitments with Memorial Day, with July 4th. We know that the absolute deadline is the end of the year. What does it look like realistically could possibly happen with the passage of this bill and eventually the signing of it by Donald Trump?
So the next thing that's going to happen is at 1 o'clock a.m. tonight, or Wednesday morning, however you look at it, there's going to be a Rules Committee meeting. The Rules Committee is where they can make changes to the bill. So they can up the salt cap. They can change the rules when it comes to Medicaid work requirements. Whatever happens in that meeting will be pretty indicative of if this bill is going to get enough people to yes or not. So I would watch for that. So Wednesday morning when we wake up, we'll have an idea of what the final bill looks like. And if Speaker Johnson says it's ideal that they potentially have this vote Wednesday evening, Wednesday night, and get out of here before then. But the end of the week is still the goal. So that Memorial Day deadline is still there for Speaker Johnson. And then it goes over to the Senate. And that's when they'll try to meet that July 4th deadline. But we don't know how the Senate's going to react. Obviously, a lot of our attention's been on the House and just whether or not they can get it through here or not. But there's still a lot of challenges still ahead in the next 24 to 48 hours.
Ryan, are you going to be there at 1 a.m.? Are you going to be outside of that?
No.
That's a heck no.
No. Actually, I should say yes and be like, oh, yeah, Cozo will totally be there. Yeah.
Yeah. You just
I like how offended he was by that question,
too. Are
you
kidding me?
No.
Is the 1 a.m. meeting.
I'm not offended. I thought it was funny. I thought it was a good question.
Is the 1 a.m. meeting just because they've backed themselves up to this Memorial Day deadline so much that they're using the hours that exist in the day?
It's like a procedural rule. So they voted out of the Budget Committee like 10 o'clock on a Sunday. And so they have to give the other party. They have to give the Democrats X amount of time to come up with amendments, to review the legislation, all that. And so it's kind of like a rules thing where this is the earliest they can have it. And here they are going forward with the earliest time they can go with, which is 1 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday morning.
All right. Well, we appreciate you. We might be contacting you again this week to give us the latest update. Ryan Schmelz, you are such a value to us and to our listeners. Thank you for your time again today.
Hey, thank you, Annie. Have a good one.
Yep, you too. Sleep well tonight. All right, Ryan Schmelz.
You will.
Yeah, Ryan Schmelz not going to be there at 1 a.m. Can you imagine having to be on the, like, to, first of all, this stuff is, there is such a small percentage of the world who nerds out on this stuff. I mean, this is like, this is beyond our nerddom. The intricacies of rules committee meetings or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
he might be one of the people who would love to take in all of that, but not at 1 a.m.
It gets to the point, too, that there's so much of this stuff and it's a strategic of who's doing what, that even we are like, okay, just give me the overview, because it gets to the point where you can't even keep up with the boredom of how intricate it is.
You know, the one thing about all of this that I have learned over the course of time is the amount of time that I can dive in and saturate myself in learning all of the things. By the time I get to come talk to you, it's changed 3 times.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So, this is nerd stuff, but this is really big stuff. Really big stuff. I did not know Elise Stefanik is a holdout on this. To me, in the same vein of what he was talking about there, if she wants to run for governor, she has a strong message to go back to the people of New York if she wants to run for governor and say, when the Republican Party was pushing against me, I pushed back or whatever. And, you know, it makes a lot of sense to me that maybe the governorship might be her next move. Going in to be the UN ambassador for a hot second and then not being, and then going back and apparently being at odds with the speaker, I could see her being like, I think I need to do something else and something bigger. Anyway, what's the Wiggins America next?
It's about all the things that you shouldn't tell your boss.
Okay. We'll cover all of that when we come back. Don't go away.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Wiggins!
Oh! Wiggins!
Hi, I'm Ryan Wiggins. This is Wiggins America.
It's weird.
Things you should never tell your boss, according to psychologists. So it's not like an HR thing. This is psychology weighing in on things that you should keep to yourself at work, at least from your boss. And I want to see whether you have ever broached these topics with your bosses. Number one, your personal finances. You should not bring up your personal finances with your boss.
I don't know if I've ever... The point of this is likely to tell you that what you need from the company as far as your finances go, the company has no responsibility to you outside of what value you are to them. If you are in financial duress because of decisions you've made or overcommitments you've made, that's not your company's problem at all. But if you're in a position where, you know, like there are things that I have done to try to expand our brand and to try to give myself more opportunity here. And, you know, I've told them, like, I'm looking for ways to help pay for my kids' tuition. So,
yeah.
So that's that's the kind of thing.
That's what I was going to say, is that there do seem like instances where it would be fine to say, look, especially if you're in a contract negotiation or something like that, or it's a yearly assessment, and you're trying to advocate for yourself, saying, look, you know, my wife and I are planning on having a baby this year, or something like that. That's personal. I guess it's not strictly financial.
No, I mean, that's more circumstantial than financial. But if you're I've never said to my boss, and I do work here under a contract, when I'm negotiating a contract, I am very aware that the company does not care what I need.
It's capitalism, baby.
The company cares about how much money they can save on me and how much money it would cost them if they lose me. And somewhere in there is a window, and I think it's a pretty small window. And my job is to determine if what is good for the company is also what is good for me. So that contract negotiation set aside, in my efforts to try to do other things that are maybe going to help me afford things, it's always a matter of, like, I can say, like, hey, listen. And, like, all I also have said to my bosses before, I'm just trying to make the most amount of money I can. It's not just, like, I need to pay school tuition, or I want to take more, you know, Disney World trips or whatever it is. I'm not ashamed of whatever that purpose is. So if I've said one or the other, it's not like, you know, I've got $30,000 of credit card debt and I'm going to go bankrupt if you don't pay me this money. Because I know that the company's not going to go, oh, well, in that case.
You should definitely walk into your boss's office red-faced and sweating and being like, listen, I need 10 grand.
I'm in bad with the mom.
Now. Here's another one. Now, this one isn't on the sheet. This was recommended by a listener named InfoDude. Things you should never tell your boss. Quote, hi, my name is Ryan Wiggins. All right, next one.
Say again.
I just pulled it up. Hi, my name is Ryan Wiggins. That's something you should never tell your boss.
Out.
I don't have time. Whatever this is going to be, I don't have time for it. Relationship problems. This one seems pretty obvious. Don't bring up your relationship issues with your boss. You'd have to have a pretty tight relationship with your boss to bring up relationship problems with your boss. Unless your boss is the one that you have the relationship problems with.
Relationship problems?
Mm-hmm. This seems just like dumping. Like,
I'm trying to... I don't... No, that seems like fishing.
Or that.
I don't like that. I can think of bosses who I've been very close with and had worked with a long time, where we would share things that were happening in our families or like to our family that existed outside of work. But if I have a fight with Jared, I'm not going to work to tell my boss. And if he has a fight with me, he best not be going to his work and tell them about the fight with me. You could, I mean, if you're telling coworkers or something because you've developed relationships, but we don't even really, we don't discuss that here. And I would not really want to be involved in that, even though I text your wife all the time.
What's amazing that I've learned from being in talk radio is that, yes, we talk outside of the radio, but it's basically to talk about the radio. And our relationship exists so much on air that it's like, no, we don't need to talk anymore. We've already talked for 3 hours to each other. How about frustrations about someone you dislike? You should not bring up frustrations about other people with your boss.
Coworkers or just people?
I don't know. I kind of disagree with this one because it seems like if you are having an issue with somebody at work, that's the person you should talk to.
No, I'm 100% going to my boss and saying, this is the issue. And the issue that you bring to your boss has to be about how to correct the issue for better productivity. Mm-hmm. Not for friendships. Not like, we were out at the bar on Friday night and he just left me. Or something like that. Like, that's... no. Don't do that. That's not... no. But if you're having a productivity problem due to a conflict, if you've tried to address that with the person in whatever way is appropriate, and if it's, you know, amidst different levels of seniority or authority... not seniority, but authority... yeah, you go to your boss for that.
It says, having venting sessions with your boss can make you appear emotionally dysregulated and dramatic.
Like a woman.
You should avoid gossiping to your boss because you want to maintain a professional relationship and be viewed as a team player. So I think in the context that you're talking about, that's how you have that discussion. Okay. We've kind of discussed some of these things, details of marriage issues. You know, that would fall under the same category. If you're in therapy...
what?
This must happen. It is not your boss's business whether you're in therapy or not. If you have a recurring therapy appointment that requires you to leave work, you must advise your boss that you have a recurring medical appointment. You do not need to provide details beyond that. It makes, in that context, it makes sense that you don't necessarily have to say always what the appointment is. You just have to communicate that you have something.
Have an appointment.
Yeah, I have an appointment. I have an appointment. It's at Sears. I want to get new pictures of myself. I did that at work once. That's why I'm saying that. Anyway,
not only does the Sears photo department not exist any longer.
I came into work one time dressed kind of nice, and they're like, "What did you have an interview or something?" I was like, "No, I just did a JCPenney session."
There's nobody else like you, Ryan.
I still have those pictures. It's just me in a studio with my hand under my chin.
What is the matter?
Just
kind of
looking
you?
Off the camera.
Do you think they called the authorities after you were done or while you were doing it? Like, we need you to just come be near.
It was a promotion. Or it was a it was like a JCPenney's promotion. Like, hey, come in, you know, before the end of the year and we'll give you a $10 session or something. I'm like, sweet. I'm going to do that.
It's a deal.
Before I had kids, I'm like, yeah, let's go. And then my work made me show them the pictures just to prove it. I'm like, yeah, here they are. You should not be sharing with your boss your health issues. Now, this one is surprising to me because it seems like if it's interacting with your work, then you probably should share it. But it says, I tend to recommend to my clients that they are mindful of what they disclose and share with their boss. If someone's going to have a procedure, needs to take time off recovery, then they need to share some basic information. But does your boss really need to know the specifics?
How many more do you have?
A few, but they...
Let's go 2 more minutes. So I think that, like, I can tell you as somebody who's been pregnant multiple times, all 4... while I was with at 97.1, I was so sick in the morning and so affected in my ability to function early in the morning that I had to tell my boss, because otherwise I would look like I was not doing my job. And I always got my job done. It was never an excuse to do less work. But if there was a day that I needed to work from home, and this was all except for one kid, all before COVID. So the work from home thing was a whole different animal before COVID. But like pregnancy, if you're pregnant and you, I mean, obviously at some point it's going to be a little obvious why you might need some time or for a doctor's appointment or whatever. Maybe not, but most of the time. But that's something that I would share with my boss and not share with other people. But, like, what kind of conditions would you not want to share?
Well, for
like
instance.
Like a personal.
Like, this is coming from me, not the experts. But if you are pregnant and you have the delivery date scheduled, I think that you should say.
The delivery date scheduled?
Listen, boss, I am not going to be here Tuesday because I'm going to go have a procedure. And just let them fill in the blanks. They might not even know. They say, oh, okay, you're having a baby. But you don't have to tell them that. That's just me, though.
I only listen to half of that.
I know. You.
Brad
I can
messaging
tell.
Me. It's his fault.
I can tell. How about this one? And this one's really weird
that
for
was
us.
Your moment to say some really crazy stuff. And I go, oh, yeah. Huh?
I did, but I needed you guys to know that it was a joke because it sounded like I was serious. Your political and religious views.
Darn it.
Oh, I think man. We crossed that.
It's like, I won't tell Steve at all that I'm a Republican who is first and foremost a Christian. And you should send your kids to Lutheran schools. Go on.
Yeah, it says that you should probably not bring up religion or politics in the workplace because it can cause division.
Yeah, no kidding.
We are on the air
can
to
I say,
be divisive.
Can I say that, like, just real quick here in the Odyssey building, that as forward and open and unquestionable that our political stances are here, there is not a single person in this building that works with anybody at all of our sister stations who has ever been rude or mean or anything to us. Which is very nice because they're probably broadcasting us in the bathroom right now in here. It's a little disconcerting, but at the same time, it's been all good. So hopefully you have that as well. We'll take a quick break. Be right back. Say that you need me. I
can't care about any nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.